All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. It is good to sit before you yet again. My name is Wes, and I get to hang out here at Horizon and privilege of serving those that are here and at camp and Bible college and just the body. So really cool. It's a privilege. I definitely don't deserve it. And that's kind of how our salvation is. It's all of grace. So want to encourage you guys this morning. We're just going to look at Jesus. Sound good? So let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. So in John chapter 13, he has Last Supper with his disciples, and he's comforting the disciples. He's encouraging them. So as we're getting ready to celebrate this time of the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world, we're looking at, you know, crucifixion on Friday night at 7 p.m. We'll be here and then celebrating the resurrection on Sunday at 9:30, and 11:15 will be the services, so you can come join us. So John chapter 14, and we'll kind of bounce around, but he says, John chapter 14, verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas speaks up. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me." Such a powerful phrase. What an amazing statement. You know, it's such an opportunity just to share the gospel within that. The only way to the Father is through Jesus. "If you had known me," verse 7, "you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Now Philip chimes up. So it was Thomas earlier. Now Philip in verse 8, he says to Jesus, says to him, "Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us." Now think back before we read on a minute here. Moses is spending time with the Lord on, you know, Mount Sinai. And he says, "Lord, show me your glory." And in Exodus, he says, "You know what? No one can look upon me and live. No one can look upon my face and live." And he says, "But this is what I'm going to do, Moses. I'm going to tuck you in the cleft of the rock. And I'm going to pass by. My glory is going to pass by. And you're going to be able to see me and see the glory of the Lord." And so it's a powerful statement, right? No one can look at the Father and live, at least in this current state that we are in. So that's kind of, you know, where we're going to go a little bit today. But Philip asked that question. He says, "Show us the Father, and it'll be enough for us." And let's listen to Jesus' response. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long?" Or let me try that again. "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe in me. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and the greater works than he will do. Because I go to the Father, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So we see here a relationship of the Father and the Son, and we see this unity, this oneness, which is incredible. And then, you know, and we're not going to read the next section, but then he says, "I'm going to ask of the Father, and I will give you another helper, one who is just like me, the Holy Spirit, which I love here, which is the Trinity of God. And to be honest, I don't understand the Trinity. I don't know if we're really supposed to fully understand it. And that's okay, because he's God. But we see that all parts are working in here. You know, just a side note for you guys, as you're reading through John, you're reading, you know, the other Gospels. Whenever Jesus claims to be God, which he does a lot in the book of John, because that's kind of, he's claiming to be the Son of God, it's John's writing. Whenever the religious leaders are picking up stones and wanting to kill him, that's when he's claiming to be God. So just keep that in mind. Each time they're like, oh, this is blasphemy. We need to, you know, he's claiming himself equal to be God. So it's just an indicator. But anyways, we go back and Jesus said, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And again, I don't understand the Trinity, but what I do understand a little bit is that who Jesus is, just a little bit. As I said, we're going to look at him. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll look a little bit at this Jesus. You know, as we're right around the crucifixion and the resurrection and kind of that why Jesus, and why is Jesus so important, and you know, this focus. Those that know me, we always spend time in Hebrews. We're not going to Ephesians today, Lord willing. So, Hebrews chapter 1, God, verse 1, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and in the prophets and in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, he has spoken to us in his son or in son. Like, it's just awesome. He has spoken to us. The way that God the Father has spoken to us is in his son, Jesus. Right? Do we want to know, understand the awesomeness of God the Father? We look to Jesus, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Now, I love this because it's speaking of Jesus, right? This is the Son. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and everything that was created through him, everything that was created through him, right? So we know that the Word of God is God himself, but he is also the creator. And it says here that through him, he has made the world. Verse 3, and he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. Now, this is like mind-blowing. He is the radiance of his glory. He is the outshining, the reflection. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't encourage you guys to do this. Please don't do this. But has anybody just stared at the sun? Because your eyes are not going to work really well after that. But think about that. We can't look at the sun, you know, the big ball of fire in the sky, and not be damaged if we just stare long enough. But this is kind of the idea of looking at the Father. But what is amazing is yesterday, I was sitting out having my class outside. I was sitting outside with my little video thing, and I've got a little sun right here, sunburn or suntan, because the radiance of the sun was hitting me. The reflection, the outshining of the sun was hitting me. Now, you know, small amounts of that is good, especially now. We need vitamin D, right, to fight off any respiratory issues and all of that. But that's who Jesus is. He is the exact essence, the reflection, the outshining. If you've seen the Father, you've seen me. And it's just an amazing thing. He is that reflection. And then it says, he is the exact representation of his nature. He is the impress. He is everything that we know. Those that know Aladdin, right? He is this all great, powerful God in an itty bitty living space. That's who Jesus is, right? Think about this, guys. This is absolutely amazing because, oh, we just want to see God. I want to see all of his glory. I want to see who he is. But when it comes down to it, we can't deal with it in these bodies the way we are now. And the God of all creation, right? The triunity of God, the Trinity of God, Jesus became his creation. He became a human that we can perfectly relate to. He experienced everything that we've gone through. He has been tempted in every way, yet without sin. Jesus, right? He is this everything that we want to know about the character, the nature of God. Because sometimes we think God the Father is this big angry God and Jesus is this nice gentle, you know. No, Jesus is the lion and he is the lamb. He is both, as we see in Revelation, that he heard the lion in Revelation chapter 1. He turns around and he sees a lamb that was slain. But we also know that the nature here is not the nature of the Father. He's not angry. Because we know, as you guys hear every single message Bill shares, for God so loved the world. That's the Father. He so loved the world. The very character and nature of God the Father is loving and caring, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him need not perish, but have everlasting life. And then he did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through him. That Jesus is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is that. And it's the heart of the Father and the heart of the Son and the heart of the Spirit also, God, the Holy Spirit. So we see just this awesome picture, right? Looking to Jesus. And who is this Jesus? He is the exact nature of the Father, but he upholds all things by the word of his power. Now think about that. By the word of his power. We already talked about John 1:1, that in the beginning was the word, and he is God, right? And he created everything. Nothing was created apart from him. But he upholds these things. These things are continued by him. And then this is the powerful thing that we're celebrating this weekend. When he had made purification for sins, has sat down at the right hand on the majesty on high. You know, Jesus was not created. He wasn't a created being, and we'll get to Colossians here, and we'll kind of wrap it up there. But he himself is God, but he made purification for sins. He is the one who took all of the sins of the world upon himself to set us free. So let's go to Colossians chapter 1. And so this will be our final pit stop on the scriptures here. So God eats popcorn, right? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So we are in Colossians chapter 1. And really what Colossians is writing, you know, Paul's writing to those in Colossae, dealing with the Colossae heresy or this Gnosticism saying that Jesus really wasn't human, right? Or he was this phantom or whatever. But no, Jesus was 100% God, 100% human. I don't understand that again. And that's okay. But it says in verse 13, think about this. He made purification for sins. Just looking at Jesus. Verse 13, chapter 1 of Colossians. For he rescued us. He's our deliverer. That's the same word that's in Matthew 6 when it says deliver us from evil. He rescued us or delivered us from the dominion, the authority of darkness. And he's transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. What an amazing statement, right? Again, this is the Father, speaking about the Father, to his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The only way to get to the Father is through Jesus. And in whom, in Jesus, we have redemption. We've been redeemed. We've been bought back with a price. And that price was the very blood of Jesus. The very blood of God in the flesh, because he loves you and I so much. I so forget that, but he truly, truly loves us. He is the image of the invisible God. Now, how does the invisible God have an image, right? That express image, as we talked about in Hebrews already, he is that outshining. Everything you want to know about the Father is in the Son. The firstborn of all creation. See, I got you. He was firstborn. That's not what it means. It means the idea of preeminence, the idea of ruling over. The firstborn son would get, right, Old Testament-wise, firstborn son would get the portion, the blessing, the authority. Here's a weird thing. Here's a little picture in the midst of this, is that Jesus is the firstborn son. He should be getting all the inheritance, all of the goodness. And guess what? He was crucified, and we are co-heirs. We have received what he has given us, that inheritance. So just looking at Jesus, he deserved it. He rightfully had it, but he has given it to us, the second-born son. And you look through the Old Testament constantly, it's not the firstborn that gets the blessing. It's the next You know, you go down through Jacob and all these other ones. It's very interesting. Side note, let's come back. For verse 16, for by him all, again, what does Bill always say? What is all? It means everything. All things were created, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is the creator. Now, he is before all things. That's from eternity past. He is before all things, and in him holds all things together. As we ended in Hebrews over there, but that idea of that everything he holds together. Now, we're going through some really difficult times, right? And we're having to lean not on our own understanding, but hopefully in all of our ways, we're acknowledging, we're knowing him personally, that's Jesus, and that he's directing our paths. But he holds all things together. He has not just got things in motion and walked away. He's continuing to hold things together, and he has promised to work things out to good. So if he could take, think about this on Friday and on Sunday and Saturday in between, if he could take the very crucifixion, the very death of God in the flesh, and turn it around for good, could he not do anything for good? Turn all things for those that love him, that are called according to his purpose, that he can work these things together for good. Now, good is to be made in the image of God, as Jesus is the image of the Father. We are reflecting the image of Jesus, and that's just how it goes. It's a powerful thing, and we need the third person of the triunity of God. We need the Holy Spirit to do that. So all things, right? He holds all things together. He is also the head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Again, that's preeminence, that so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness of God to dwell in and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood on his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So if you don't know Jesus, today's a good day to say, thank you for taking my sin at the cross, taking my place. If you've forgotten where your righteousness is, it's found 100% in Jesus. But just, we're to look to Jesus. We're to be his image bearers because he is the image bearer of the Father, and it's the Holy Spirit who does it through us. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you're the God of the word. Father, thank you that you're not just an angry God at all. You're a righteous and just God, but you took that righteous and just punishment upon yourself through Jesus, who is God. And we just want to celebrate you, Lord. We want to feel the sting of the cross, but we also want to feel the liberation and the freedom of this stone being rolled away and you no longer being there. So we love you. Bless these precious hearts, Lord, of Horizon and those that are beyond. Lord, the body of Christ, you don't really care about a name or a title over. It's Jesus, and we're one body. So I bless these precious folks, Lord. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Pour your spirit out upon us, refresh us, revive us. We pray for a revival. May you start in our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name.